Welcome to the Balanced Mind, a podcast dedicated to understanding emotion and achieving emotional maturity. We are going to dive deep into the roots of our feelings and ask a critical question: how can I manage emotion more effectively with greater wisdom? The goal is to help you grow in emotional intelligence, leading to a better quality of life and more fulfilling relationships in every area, from the workplace to your closest friendships. I'll provide you with a practical toolkit and insights to help you navigate life's challenges with a greater emotional maturity and resilience. Hello, my name is Dion Bicycle, and as a supportive counselor, I am dedicated to helping you achieve a better quality of life. Welcome to the Balanced Mind. Let's begin. How's it, everyone? Like I said, my name is Dion Bicycle, and I want to welcome you to our second podcast. And in this podcast, we are going to focus on the emotion sadness. You can expect to learn what is sadness and what causes sadness. How does it make us feel physically? We're going to learn about sadness. Is it a good thing or bad thing? Is sadness maybe a sign of a mental illness? And then also what to do with sadness. And then how do I support someone who is sad? Now, when I did research on this topic, I realized that there is so much to say about sadness. But again, I've chosen a few facts just to create a basis on what sadness is. So what I'm about to share with you is not the one and only information that's out there. No, it's rather something that we can take and we can build on and grow into, and give you a platform where you can ask your own questions and delve deeper into the emotion itself. So let us ask the question: what is the definition of sadness? Well, sadness is a normal, temporarily emotional response of unhappiness, sorrow, or grief triggered by loss, disappointment, or difficult circumstances. Now, let's stop writing. So, it's a temporary emotional response, okay? So, temporarily, it comes and it goes. We are sad because we are unhappy, or we have grief, or we lost something that creates sadness within us. Even difficult circumstances can create sadness, but it's temporary. Temporary. Although later on we're going to see what happens to sadness when it's a prolonged emotion, and then we're going to go into more depth a bit later on. Sadness can be caused by a few things. First of all, it can be caused by losing something or someone close to you. When we think about if someone passed away and you had a very close relationship with that person, then we see sadness. Also, not just death, but when a relationship comes to an end after a long period of time, that can cause sadness too, because you're losing a very dear friendship. Then also the loss of a job, that can bring intense sadness, especially when you were good at your job and you enjoyed your job. Then sadness is really prominent. Also, when we have an opportunity coming up, but we did not get the opportunity, or the opportunity wasn't granted in our favor, then we can experience sadness too. Also, disappointment. When we are disappointed in something or someone, we can also experience sadness. Also, when we planned events and we did a lot of planning, like when people plan a wedding, but then something happened and a wedding can't take place anymore. Difficult circumstances when you're in a household where you don't always have enough money for food or warm clothes, that can also bring about sadness. In today's life, we also see sadness when people have financial problems, for they can't do what they need to do to survive. And then they also need to do something else that they're not comfortable with in order to get finances in. Also, when someone is ill and suffers from an illness, that can also create sadness. So, how does sadness feel to us as human beings? Well, there is physical symptoms of sadness. First, we get fatigue or a low energy. A feeling of a persistent lack of energy is experienced even after getting enough sleep. Changes in sleep patterns. Now, this can go both ways. Either you sleep a lot or you sleep very little. When people are sad, we also get appetite and weight changes. Sadness can lead to a loss of appetite and weight loss. Conversely, some people may experience increased craving and weight gain. I know I'm guilty regarding to that. When I feel sad, I like to eat something and that comforts me. Comfort eating, they call it. Then, aches and pains. Unexplained physical pain is a very common symptom. This can include headaches, muscle aches, back pain, and other pains that don't have a clear medical cause. Again, when I was a teenager, I used to suffer from a spastic colon. For years and years, I had pain in my stomach. And I remember there were two doctors that said to me, "What's going on in your personal life?" But I did not recognize that I was sad and something is happening psychologically with me that manifest in a colon paining. But it is quite often to get aches and pains when we are sad. Some people also suffer from digestive issues. The gut and the brain are strongly linked. Sadness can manifest as a stomach ache. and also as nausea, indigestion, constipation, or even diarrhea. We also see that the person's movements and speech are slower than usual. A person who is sad may seem to move, think, and speak more slowly than usual. Later on, we will also see how this can actually be a benefit for us. Lastly, we can have a weakened immune system. Prolonged sadness and stress can release hormones like cortisol, which can weaken the immune system, making a person more susceptible to illness. Let us look at the benefits of sadness. First thing, it promotes self-reflection. So sadness can slow you down. Remember before the break, we looked at symptoms, things we can see or experience when we are sad, and one of them were that some people talk slower and react slower. Well, here we can see it's actually a good thing. So I'm going to say it again. Sadness can slow you down, yes, but it's encouraging you to think deeply about your life and circumstances, also about what just happened to you. And then you can truly know what you want out of life or out of the circumstance. How can you walk away with something worthwhile, even though sadness were a factor? Secondly, it enhances analytical thinking. Sad people are more likely to pay attention to detail and analyze information thoroughly, reducing reliance on simple heuristics and biases. Sadness can motivate positive change. It serves as a signal that something is wrong or that circumstances need changing, motivating you to adapt and improve your situation. Sadness can also foster empathy and connection. Feeling sad can increase your ability to connect with others on a deeper, more meaningful level, fostering empathy and kindness. Sharing vulnerable moments can deepen connection, while the comfort received from others can create powerful messages that we are not alone. Sadness also acknowledges the importance of people, passions, or purpose in our lives, reminding us of our personal values and motivation. Sadness can also increase our resilience. Experiencing and processing moderate negative life events can build resilience, leading to better overall well-being and mental health in the long run. It can also inspire creativity. If we look at music and poetry, we can see that some of the most beautiful songs or poems were created out of sadness. And that shows that the humanity and how we all actually have sadness in our lives, and that we can relate to one another. Which brings me to our previous point on how we connect with one another. So sadness can be beneficial. We can also see physiological benefits. So when we're sad, we tend to cry. And crying as an expression of sadness can help the body regain physiological balance by stabilizing respiration and return the heartbeat to a more normality beat. So, in other words, it calms us down. And isn't it so that when we have a good cry, we feel better? Next, we're going to look at sadness and when it is a more serious thing like depression. So we're going to compare the two and see when is it just sadness that we experience, but when do we need to go ask for help? In that case, it's more serious. So here's the breakdown of when sadness can be considered depression. Sadness is the normal human emotion, like we said, but when it becomes clinical, it can lead to depression, and it's more than just a passing feeling. The key differences lie in the duration, the severity, and other range of symptoms that distinguish depression from just normal sadness. To compare the two, I would like to remind you of what we said in the beginning. Sadness is typically temporary reaction to a specific event like a loss or a disappointment. It's an emotion that comes and goes, and you can usually find moments of relief in pleasure. In other words, maybe this happens at the funeral where we all are sad, but people make small or little jokes in between just to break the tension. This is what we're talking about. Depression, on the other hand, is a more serious medical condition. It's a persistent mood disorder that affects you, and it affects how you feel, think, and act. And it can interfere with all aspects of your life. So sadness is a temporary feeling, while depression is more long-lasting. So let's look at the key differences. Duration. Sadness usually lasts for a few days or a week. The feeling typically subsides as you cope with the event that causes it. Depression, on the other hand, is the defining characteristic of symptoms that are present most of the day, nearly every day, for at least 2 consecutive weeks. Now think about it this way. Sadness can't last for 2 weeks non-stop. No, that is more depression. Yes, you can feel sad for a week, but it goes away as you cope with the situation. So depression is not just sadness, no, it's the severity of sadness that can lead to depression. And also it's a collective of symptoms that are severe enough to cause significant problems in your daily life. A diagnosis of major depression disorder requires a person to experience at least 5 other symptoms, with at least one of them being having a depressed mood or a loss of interest or pleasure. So when we are sad, that's emotion, but when we are depressed, there's more things at play: loss of appetite, can't sleep, negative outlook in life. But the most severe one for me is when you start thinking of suicide, when you have suicidal thoughts. See, when we're sad, we don't think about suicide. It's more about a feeling that we are sad. Where in depression, it can lead to more serious things, and then you need to seek professional help. Well, now we're going to focus on what we can do to manage our sadness. Firstly, we can engage in healthy habits. First, one of the most practical things that we can do is exercise. Now, I know that not everybody is quite a fan of exercise, but don't think of exercise just as, going to gym or following a program. Let's just think of exercise as being physical, doing a physical activity, like just walking around the block or anything like that. You see, physical activity is a powerful mood booster, because when we move and we exercise, then the dopamine in our brain gets released, and that can help us feel better about the situation. It releases other endorphins as well, which are a natural mood lifting chemicals in the brain. Even a brisk 15 minutes walk can make a difference. I always feel confident and motivated after I did some exercise. So for me, exercise is one of the most basic things we can do to help manage our sadness. Also, we need to get enough sleep. Sadness can disrupt sleep patterns. We've seen that earlier, right? But a constant sleep schedule is crucial for mental well-being. Of course, we need to aim for at least 7 hours of quality sleep each night. Just on that, also remember, your best sleep time is between 10 and 2 at night. Then is your best quality sleep can be achieved. Very important also is to create a routine. When you're sad, you might feel a lack of motivation, but sticking to a daily routine can provide a sense of control and normality, which can be very helpful. Also, I've noticed that when someone passed away, and obviously then everything is disrupted, but I found that family traditions really helped one along in that process, because it's stuff you just need to do because it's tradition to do it, or in our case, it's a routine thing to do. It gets you through the tough time, eating a certain time. When you keep to a routine, your rhythm is not as much disrupted when something happens, like a lost one or a car accident or something like that. Keeping the routine really does help you coping with a sad event. Secondly, we can practice healthy coping mechanisms. First, we can connect with others. Don't withdraw from friends or family when you're sad. Socializing can improve your mood and provide a support system. Many times when I was sad, people would say, "Just come out for a bit, Sit with us, talk with us, and then you can go back into your room or go home. Just that breaking out of your sadness and having some socialization can help you cope with sadness. You see, talking to someone you trust about how you're feeling can be incredible cathartic. Also, I know that when you talk about something that makes you sad, your thoughts are coming out into words, and somehow you get to line up your thoughts, and you realize that this situation is not as bad as it seems. When thoughts are only in your head, going over and over, playing over and over again, that is sometimes not good. What you can do is then to talk it out, and then you can see, hey, but I'm missing a few facts here. And then you can see things in another light or another perspective. Then there's also a coping mechanism where you can express yourself. Find a healthy outlet for your emotions. This could be through journaling, writing down what's happening in your journal, creating art, playing music, or you can even write music or write the poem. This allows you to process your feelings in a constructive way. Many people, when they do the art, for them, it reminds them of something deep or something hurtful, but to someone else, it might be beautiful. Again, I've mentioned about songs. People write the most beautiful songs, but if you go into it deeply, you will see that often songwriters will write something when they're sad and will, when they miss someone or something, and then it turns into a world hit and the whole world listens to it. And interestingly, then people also identify with it. When it comes to emotions, people feel things, but they don't know what word to use. But when they listen to a song or they read a poem, then they can identify and say, but I feel like this. And then we can understand ourselves and other people better. And that's through expressing the emotion. Then you can also challenge your negative thoughts. Sadness often comes from a negative outlook. Try to identify and challenge these thoughts. For example, if you think I am a failure, try to reframe it with evidence of a good time you succeed. Yes, I feel like a failure, but you know what? I did complete the challenge. I did do my work properly. I don't feel good, but I did what they asked me to do. Remind yourself of good thoughts where it's opposite of what you're feeling, because that will be a fact. The fact is, yes, I can do what is asked, even though I don't feel like worthy enough to do it, but I can do it. So we'll challenge the negative thoughts with something positive. Also, we can do something that we enjoy, even if we don't feel like it. Make an effort to do an activity or hobby that used to bring you pleasure. It could be something as simple as listening to your favorite music, reading a book, or watching a funny movie. I want to give you two examples out of my own life. Well, I love dancing, and usually when I'm sad and I would go to a class, like for ballroom or Latin, I would do that, and all of a sudden my mood will pick up and I will enjoy life more, and I can gain more perspective on what made me sad. Second one is when I'm sad, I would like to watch videos where animals are being funny, or where cats especially don't jump as high or as far as they thought they can. That really brightened out my day. One of the best motivations for me to get rid of my sadness is laughter. And animals are the best comedians for me. But when you find that coping mechanisms and healthy habits does not do the trick for you, then it is time to seek professional help. Sadness can be a symptom of something deeper, like depression. When your sadness is persistent and lasts for more than 2 weeks, then it's good to seek some help. It is also accompanied by other symptoms of depression, like loss of sleep, interest in activities, changes in sleep, like we saw earlier, or feelings of worthlessness. Your sadness can also then interfere in your ability to function at work, school, or studies, and even in your relationships. And like we said earlier, when you have self-harming thoughts, that is a good sign to know that you need professional help. In this last part of the episode, we are gonna look at what we can do to support someone who is sad. Well, firstly, we need to listen and validate their feelings. This is the most crucial thing we can do. We don't minimize what people are going through. The goal is to make them feel heard and understood, not to provide solutions. Validate their emotions first. Say something like, "That sounds incredibly difficult," or "I'm so sorry you're going through this," or "It makes complete sense that you're feeling this way." This shows that you accept their feelings without judgment. Avoid unhelpful phrases. Don't say things like, "Cheer up, my boy," or "It's not that bad, you can get through it," or "Oh no, you'll get over it, don't worry." Don't say that. It's not a good thing to say. These phrases can make you feel misunderstood and may cause someone to withdraw, and we don't want that. We want people to talk about sadness. But once you say something like this, like cheer up, buddy, then people shut down. And like you said, we don't want that. But if you want to know more about how they're feeling or what are they thinking or what happened that made them sad, we can ask open-ended questions. Instead of "Are you okay?" which can be an answer yes or no, let's rather ask "What is on your mind?" or "How have you been feeling lately?" Remember, open-ended question is we expect an answer with information, not just a yes or no. A bit more information. Remember, we can ask who, what, how, when, where. One of the five words that can start a sentence that will not give you a yes or no answer. Also help with daily tasks. Offer to help with chores around the house, like doing dishes, laundry, taking out trash. Small acts can make a big difference. Also provide company. Offer to go for a walk, to watch a movie together, Or just sit quietly with someone. Don't force them into anything or into conversation, but let them know you are happy to simply be there. And then you can also encourage them to seek professional help. Suggest it as a positive step forward and then help them with the process. Yes, I can look for a counselor or I know of a counselor, but be sure that the person needs to call the counselor out of his own will. That is the best step you can help them. Even if you just sit there while they're doing the call to support them, but rather allow him or them to do the call themselves. Also, tell them that therapy is a common and effective way to help sadness or depression, and they do not need to feel the stigma or to seek help from a counselor. Seeking professional help is not a sign of weakness. It's an act of courage and self-care. It shows you're committed to your well-being and you can help someone take this step by step. Normalizing therapy. Explain that talking is a professional and common and highly effective way of getting help. Offering help with the process. The person may feel too overwhelmed to make an appointment on their own, like we just said. You can offer to help with the research for a counselor or a therapist, and you can also go with them to the first initial appointment. If you feel you struggle more with this trigger of sadness, or you find that the feelings are consistently harming your day-to-day life or your relationships, a more personalized approach can be transformative. As a supportive counselor, I am dedicated to enhancing your total well-being. Of my clients through a system approach to counseling, helping you achieve wholeness in your body, mind, and spirit. My focus is on caregiving and personal growth, not just symptom management. We work together to help you navigate your well-being, whether it's related to physical or mental health, so you can achieve a better quality of life. I'm committed to helping you facilitate self-care, enhance your overall well-being, and support your bio-spiritual wellness. We will develop a plan together, and I will be there to train, to guide, and to monitor you so you can make lasting changes. My mission is to help you protect yourself from negative factors, prevent risk factors that lead to problems, and educate you on how lifestyle choices can impact your health. By giving you practical coping skills, we can promote a positive state of well-being. If you want to contact me, you can contact me on Facebook. On the Dion Bicycle page, you can leave a message there and I will return to you. Also, if you want to email me directly, my email address is dionlabo@gmail.com. That is Dion, Deon, Labo, Labu, @gmail.com. And in the subject line, you can write the balanced mind. as we conclude this episode on sadness, remember that it's a fundamental part of the human experience. Sadness is not a sign of weakness. It's a natural, temporary, emotional response that can even offer us opportunities for self-reflection and growth. By understanding its causes and physical symptoms, we can better navigate these feelings without letting them consume us. However, it's crucial to recognize the distinction between sadness and clinical depression. If your feelings are persistent, intense, and accompanied by a loss of interest or other debilitating symptoms, please consider contacting myself for help or seeking help from a professional counselor. Taking this step is a sign of strength and commitment to your own well-being. I encourage you to use the strategies we discussed in this episode, like practicing healthy habits, connecting with others, and challenging negative thoughts as tools in your journey toward emotional maturity. Remember to show compassion to both yourself and others. If you know someone who is struggling, offer to listen, provide practical support, and gently encourage them to seek help. By doing so, you contribute to a more balanced and empathetic world. My work as counselor is centered on enhancing your total well-being. My approach is based on a psychogenic method, which focuses on factors that support health and well-being rather than just on the causes of the problem. We will work together to combat challenges and achieve a better quality of life. Your journey to a healthier, more balanced life begins now. Contact me on Facebook. My page name is Dion Bicycle, or you can send me an email at dionlabu@gmail.com. Let's take the first step to a better, more quality well-being together. Thank you for joining me on The Balanced Mind. I'm Dion Bicycle, and I look forward to continuing this journey with you. Until next time, take care of your mind, your body, and soul.